Let's bring in the man who broke the news of the first trade that may get the dominoes to fall, Michael Scotto of Sheridan Hoops. Mike, what's going on, my man?
Hey, Gary, what's going on, Mateen? How are you?
What's up?
Well, you've so far been called the star of the trade deadline period by some national writers. How do you feel about that?
It sounds good to me.
Yeah, right. Get him a raise. Get this guy a raise. You know why, Mateen? Because he went to the best university in the history of universities. He's no Sparty.
I was gonna say he must have went to Michigan State.
No. He couldn't get in. He couldn't get into Michigan State. Let's be honest, Michael. Let's talk about here this deal of Brandon Jennings being swapped essentially for Tobias Harris. You throw in Ersan Ilyasova as well. Okay, well, there's many different layers to this, but first, where is Brandon Jennings in terms of being able to give the Magic somewhere in the range of 20 to 30 minutes a night where they see value in him?
Well, first off, just want to say, Jared, my fellow Hofstra man, always good to talk with you.
Yeah.
As far as what Brandon Jennings can bring to the Orlando Magic, the one thing that I've heard consistently since, I would say, December regarding the Magic was they wanted a veteran presence. And while some people are questioning why you give up on a young guy like Tobias Harris, who's only 23, about to enter his prime, and he's showing flashes of some nice things, Jennings and Ilyasova bring them that veteran presence. With Jennings, you know, if this doesn't work out for whatever reason in Orlando, he's a free agent after the season, and they can walk away from it. And Ilyasova also comes, well, I wouldn't say it comes off the books. He has a non-guaranteed deal for next season as well. So as far as Brandon Jennings, from what I've been told, Rob Hennigan has always been high on him as a player, clearly since they made this trade. And I guess it's just been someone that he's been eyeing for a while, and this was a way to make the deal happen.
And do you know, like, anything far as Jennings' relationship with Skiles? Because I know Skiles had him in Milwaukee, and he was traded. So is there anything – was that something with those guys, or just Milwaukee looking to upgrade, or, you know, are they cool far as relationship-wise?
Well, what's interesting about this entire trade is these are all former Bucks players, and if I'm not mistaken, they all played at one time for Scott Skiles. So with that in mind, as far as, you know, Jennings and Skiles back then, I just think it was an upgrade. I wasn't told of anything personally with Scott, but, you know, who knows, honestly. You know, coming into the coaching job for the Orlando Magic, if you recall when Tobias Harris was in Milwaukee, he and Scott Skiles did not get along, and that was pretty well documented. So, you know, I think that, you know, especially a guy like Tobias and Scott were able to both, you know, mature, and, you know, years later, time heals all wounds. So if for whatever reason there was any difference of opinion between Brandon and Scott, I would think that they would put that aside, especially now, you know, they're both more mature in years, then I would just expect them to make the best of the situation, because ultimately it is what it is. And, you know, the Orlando Magic coming into the season, and this is before Rob Hennigan and the management guys got contract extensions, they made it a goal. This season was a playoff year for the Orlando Magic. And we saw earlier in the season that this team was playing well, but then the fire started to dim a little bit, and this team has been on a slide. So they felt they needed to shake things up and get to the playoffs, and that's why this deal was made, you know, from the start.
Yeah, right now in the loss column, the Magic 3 games out of that 8th spot, but certainly as we've been talking about, that's a week of basketball can change where you stand at the Eastern Conference. Talking to Mike Scotto of Sheridan Hoops, writes for the Associated Press as well. Mateen Cleaves, Jared Greenberg off the dribble. Interesting, though, when you mentioned the Tobias Harris side of things here, because it seems like teams over the last year, maybe even 2 years, seeing what was coming down the pike with the salary cap being, you know, obviously exploding now, maybe up to $92 million this upcoming summer, as Zach Lowe's reporting, that they're trying to get guys under contract, whether they see a future with them on their own team or not. A guy like Tobias Harris is a guy who maybe got a lot of money viewed today, but come next year, he's going to be on what will be deemed a team-friendly contract.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, looking at Tobias's deal, I don't think necessarily a lot of people know this, but, you know, next year his deal is in the $17 million range. But then in the following 2 years after that, it actually declined. So that's kind of a rare little tidbit about his contract. It goes down to about 16 and then the high 14 million range, you know, almost 15 million in the final year of the deal. And certainly, I think anytime you start to look at a projected 90-plus million dollar cap, whatever it may be, you know, any starter on your team is going to easily make, I would say, $12 million. So to get a guy like Tobias Harris, who isn't entering the prime of his career, you know, he's only 23, I think that's a steal of a contract. And, you know, Stan Van Gundy, you know, for all the flack he got from, you know, releasing Josh Smith, I mean, this is, you know, the opposite of that. I mean, this is a great move on paper, it looks like, when you can get a young rising guy like that for two veterans who, you know, Brandon Jennings was not a part of the long-term plans in Detroit. It was pretty evident. Ilya Sova was contingent, depending on what happened in free agency. And, you know, obviously Stan has a relationship with Ryan Anderson, who's going to be a free agent and is a guy that Detroit eyed looking forward, you know, towards the summer. But the fact that they went ahead and got Tobias and got him on a good deal, I think superseded the interest in a guy like Ryan, who could potentially get more than Tobias annually and even close to $20 million, believe it or not, with the new cap, even though he's a stretch four specialist. So with that in mind, I commend Stan for, you know, kind of jumping the gun here and really making the deal happen when you can get a guy that young, talented, and the contract works, and you're getting rid of, you're not giving up any picks. It looks like a great move, again, on paper for Stan Van Gundy right now.
And yeah, that was kind of like my next question, because I know the ownership trusted him, making him the president as well as coach. Is this one of those moves, and do you see anything else happening? Is this like we have to make a playoff push, or not a push, but have to make the playoff year for Stan?
I think certainly Stan has aspirations of that with this team. If you look at the way he's built the team, he's tried to do it similarly to what he did in Orlando, because you look at a young Andre Drummond and he reminds some of a young Dwight Howard, and he has a point guard now in Reggie Jackson. You need, you know, a good point guard with today's NBA. I think the next thing he's trying to do is continue to add shooting around that. Even though, like, he obviously was going to give up Ilya Sova to get Tobias, I know that he did value him. He does value that stretch four type of guy. That's why he also had interest in, you know, foresight down the road in Ryan Anderson this summer. Now, Tobias isn't as consistent of an outside shooter, so I do expect them to continue to monitor the market and look for shooting if they can get it in the front court, if possible. But one thing I would also say to the listeners is, you know, the trade deadline, you know, sure, this deal happened a couple of days before the deadline, but it becomes like Wall Street at the end of the stock market day when it's about 12 hours to the deadline on deadline day, and the phones are ringing off the hook. So I think this is just the start. I'm not going to say definitely that there's going to be deals, because we obviously don't know that yet, but in terms of the talks between general managers on different teams, this is only the beginning. It's going to light up like the 4th of July.
Mike Scotto, Sheridan Hoops, joining us off the dribble, talking about the Orlando-Detroit news, which he broke the story a couple hours ago. Brandon Jennings and Ersan Ilyasova to the Magic for Tobias Harris. He goes back to the Pistons. Mike, with this signal to me, when I saw your initial tweet, this told me that the Magic and Rob Hennigan are going to be moving somebody else in their backcourt. To me, it just doesn't make sense to have Payton, Oladipo, and Jennings. You've got three guys. Payton's a point guard. You've got two other guys who can play either position. I just feel like Oladipo is probably going to be the next one to go here from the Magic. Are you getting that read, or you feel like maybe they'll try and go with these three guys?
Well, you know, Jared, what I'll say about Oladipo is I remember when he had to come off the bench for Orlando, all of a sudden at that point, there were a lot of stuff flying around out there about them looking to trade him, and that you know, he wasn't happy with the situation. Now, he wasn't happy coming off the bench, but in terms of, or at that time, but in terms of Orlando and how they view their young guys, what I have been told from them is that they are very high on Oladipo, They're very high on a guy like Aaron Gordon as well. Teams have called and attempted to pry those guys away predominantly. But to this point, obviously, they've turned down deals. But regarding Oladipo, the asking price at this time, with a couple of days left before the trade deadline, it's high. Now, does that specifically mean picks or veterans? I think that may have changed because of what they just acquired now in Jennings and Ilyasova. Number one thing they stressed above anything else was veterans. It didn't mean a specific type of position. It didn't mean a specific type of trait that the incoming players would bring to the team. They just wanted veteran experience. So I think now that they have acquired that in Jennings and Ilyasova, the biggest thing now is evaluating, first of all, where does Oladipo fit? Is he a two? Is he kind of a combo? He is a combo guard, but does he have a chance to play some point guard minutes? I know they've experimented with that. I don't think they know the answer to that question yet. And when you have a backcourt of him and Elfrid Payton, those two guys can't really shoot and spread the ball. One guy I would look to see that I think could get more trade interest than people are giving credit for is Evan Fournier, because he's going to be a restricted free agent, and any team that would acquire him potentially could lock him up down the road by matching an offer sheet for him. So I think more Evan Fournier talk will come up than Oladipo, just because the Magic view him too highly at this point. But as we've seen, anything can change in a matter of hours. But as of right now, that's where I stand on Oladipo and Orlando.
What's next here? What do you think the next significant deal is? We've talked about it, you know, this Memphis deal that Adrian Wojnarowski is reporting with Courtney Lee. That's obviously a lot less significant, but what do you see as the next shoe to drop?
If I had a guess at this point, I would look at the New Orleans Pelicans, and I would look strongly at Ryan Anderson, because this is a guy who, as I mentioned before, could net $20 million in free agency this summer. I think a lot of teams, including the New Orleans Pelicans, are a little hesitant to give a guy that much money when he's primarily a stretch four guy. So they have gotten plenty of offers in terms of Ryan. I don't expect them to make a deal until it's closer to the deadline when all the chips are on the table, and then go from there. The theory with my rationale with that is, if you're going to let the guy go, you know, most likely, you might as well get back the best offer you can get. And, you know, earlier in, I believe it was December, I had reported that the Sacramento Kings called the Pelicans and offered Rudy Gay in a one-for-one deal for Ryan Anderson. Now, you know, some people questioned why they didn't take the deal at the time, but I think what New Orleans would prefer is a young piece, young wing player specifically, that is under contract for the next few years, whether they're in their rookie contract or they're entering restricted free agency. And if they can add any other piece, just a veteran front court guy to kind of fill in the role of Ryan. If they can get a stretch four, great. Doesn't have to be, though, because Anthony Davis can now stretch and shoot from beyond the elbow. He can even shoot threes now. But ideally, that's what New Orleans is looking for, a young wing guy that they can keep under control that has some value down the road and some star potential. So that's why I think he'll be the next guy to go.
Well, Mike, we appreciate you joining us here. Nice job breaking this story. We look forward to seeing your other reports that you have throughout the week. It should be a very busy now 47 hours before the trade deadline.
Yeah, that's why we have free, long distance minutes.
Remember that? Remember when you had to pay for that? That was back in the day, huh?
Yep, unlimited text. You know how it is.
Follow him on Twitter at Mike A. Scotto, writing for Sheridan Hoops and the Associated Press. Thanks so much, Mike.
My pleasure, fellas. Thank you.
Good stuff there from Mike Scotto.